So that gets us through a few more pages. Page 136 we're on, and 5 minutes to the ostensible close of the meeting.
And ostensibly, I wonder if we should challenge that a little bit.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
Your Worship, I was wondering whether, and I seek your guidance on this, whether we push through to the end of corporate reports for decision and don't do any corporate reports for noting tonight, don't do any motions with notice tonight, with the possible exception of the Onkaparinga matter.
Well, I think that all of the elected members' motions can probably wait. I suspect that if we don't get to it, staff will be working in the background anyway. In respect of corporate reports for noting, there may be questions, but they could well be moved en bloc, because it really is just for information.
Councillor?
Yes, well, so look, the only other item I'll draw to your attention, the Refugee Action Network, that one is not urgent, but the others, there is some time sensitivity to them in the sense that they may have an impact on budget. I mean, you can put anything in or out, but, well, I'm after senior management's advice. If there's anything else we could defer without a problem, but as I say, they mostly have a budget impact, so I think we probably just have to press on.
In terms of corporate reports for decision, do you mean?
Corporate reports
for decision. I'm suggesting we do all of them.
Yes, well, the only optional one I can identify is the Refugee Action
Network.
Okay,
let's pull that one out.
Pull that one out.
I move that we do all the corporate reports for decision with the exception of that one.
And corporate reports?
And corporate reports for noting, yes, but under the understanding that we'll hopefully move them on block. May not, but hopefully. Yeah. And look, I think it would be prudent for us to at least talk about Onkaparinga tonight.
All right. That's your motion?
That's my motion.
Is that seconded? Councillor Vlescu? Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Mayor doesn't get to vote. Has to stay here. Fair enough. So, page 136. What I might do, actually, is suggest we'll see, maybe after this motion, I'm just thinking of a five-minute break, but because we will be here for some time yet. But let's just press on for a moment. Page 136, this is the organisation now for Adelaide Metropolitan Councils. They have their own business plan. I must say I was surprised. Main surprise was that they had economic development. I thought, looking at page 149 as a theme, is I think more dubious, because I have seen so many cases of councils doing that badly. But I am really surprised that there's not a theme there to do with waste management, because that is just ringing bells all over South Australia. But they're my comments on it. Leave it up to Councillor Pfeiffer. By the way, congratulations, Councillor Pfeiffer. We haven't had a chance to say that publicly. The leading vote catcher in the casual vacancy election for membership of this leadership group of Adelaide Metropolitan Councils. Well done. So over to you to move a motion.
Thank you, Your Worship, and thank you for that. Congratulations. I deeply appreciate it. Your Worship, I've also found these documents to be deficient in a few areas. I'd like to capture the areas that you mentioned. I don't have such a huge problem with economic development, noting that I think it could be challenging for Garrock to truly advocate for economic development, considering one region of Adelaide could well be in competition with another region of Adelaide. However, I think there's other areas which are potentially a little bit light on. So, look, you could argue that it's deeply bedded within the planning area section, but population growth we haven't spoken about within the plans. There's no mention of community development. You mentioned waste, but I also suggest probably environment, water and climate as well. Climate change doesn't create a mention. Technology and innovation, and when I say that, I mean it in the sense of enabling councils to better use technology and innovative practices in their operations. And look, the final one is probably the biggest one, is that what I have observed within this is there seems to be a bit of an absence in enabling better financial management and enabling better asset management of councils. And I think that could be an area where a body like this could also assist. You know, I am deeply proud of what Marion has done, particularly over the last 4 years in both, especially in financial management and asset management to a lesser degree, but we're picking up our socks. But I, you know, having read the balance sheets of other councils, I don't think that's necessarily the case across the board. And I think a group like this could well lead in terms of providing the toolkits to be able to assist other councils in raising their socks.
Okay. Now, assuming that a number of members might agree with some of those themes, I presume that it'll be sufficient to note the general items, and then the Mayor, I suppose, can write back to the chairperson of Garrock. After all, she did write to the Mayor saying, what do you think of this, in terms of a council communication. Just any comment, Mr. Mifsud? Does that sound right? Yep. So we can do that quite quickly after tonight. And some of those, I mean, what I'd suggest is that there looks like an entirely additional theme of waste, environment and climate change adaptation or prevention, but the economic development, population growth sort of fit within the current theme too. And the better financial management, asset management, technology innovation fits into theme three that they already have. Community development, can you just expand on that a little?
Certainly, Your Worship. Look, I think a lot of what we do as a local government sector is about fostering better involvement of our communities with community facilities, and more broadly within the community amongst itself as well, in terms of the facilities that we provide for our neighbourhood centres, community centres and whatnot. And also, you know, addressing issues in regard to social isolation, for example, and ageing, and you know, even things like provision of community buses. Like, I think that is all in relation to community development. Now, that's probably more of a individual council type thing. Like, this individual council does that, that individual council does that. But I think it is something that broadly there can be an advocacy role for.
Certainly. So, look, they're all good points. I can tell you from attending some, not many, but some meetings of the previous governance structure at the LGA, whereby mayors and chief executives met in a larger group setting because it was South Australia-wide. It was metropolitan-wide, but it was all of the mayors instead of half of them, and it was the chief executive officers with them, which doesn't happen under the new system. But what they found was that, as a group, that if they had more than three themes, they would start to lose focus and not be able to do anything particularly well. So I suspect that's why we're presented with three themes. But all we can do is suggest the ideas that we have, and when GAROC gets together, they might select something other than what they've drafted.
And, Your Worship, as you quite rightly point out, I think almost all of those additional points fit within the existing themes, possibly with the exception of waste, environment and climate.
Sure. All right, so it's moved with those comments. Is it seconded? Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I'm happy to second. I would like something in there about our urban planning goals. I know they've got a theme around this. I would imagine that there are other councils in a similar position to us with current development plans that they don't particularly like and don't particularly want to support going forwards. And how we transition from that plan to an agreeable new plan is, I don't know how that happens, because our recent feedback from the Minister hasn't exactly made us happy. So. Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. It is around taking feedback from the actual residents of the areas, because at the moment there doesn't seem to be any recourse for anyone who's living in any of these areas as to what the community feel is for what's actually going to happen in their suburb. I know that's a bit of a slippery slope, because if enough members of the community band together, then we could end up with all sorts of different outcomes. So that's got to be tempered by a certain amount of logic in the planning system, and I just don't think that logic is... the logic needs to favour the resident more so than... Sure, and I'm happy to talk to you more offline, given you're going to be the person who's going to be writing this. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and there's a certain amount of logic over the top of the whole thing as well. You know, how much do we need all these houses in this specific area, and how much do we not need all the houses everywhere else? So, strategic question, good one for GAROC, I think, as well, because, I mean... We're going to struggle as a single council to make any indent into this, I believe. And absolutely, waste has to be... waste is probably its own theme. And I understand that four themes is probably too many, but waste is definitely a biggie. Absolutely.
Don't have to, then I'll just put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Perhaps just one more item before a short break. Local government reform. You'll see that staff have prepared a draft letter, pages 182 to 184. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Happy to move,
Councillor Telfer.
Happy to move that way. I've got an addition that I would like to entertain as well as
yes.
part of that. For quite a while, I've been considering, and I don't have the answer for it, but how can local government better benchmark itself in terms of performance across the state? And while we're opening it up, is there a way that there could be some metrics put around that? Don't know what the answer is, but I think it would be worth state government exploring that. So
yes.
I think I'd like to include that, because we're not all performing as well as the City of Marion, of course.
That's true. Now, there is, in Victoria, I have seen some sort of a scoreboard with basic sort of metrics, but I'm not sure how much one can really draw from it. think the
sure,
intention...
I just think it just a small note to say that we would encourage the exploration of a performance benchmark across local government in South Australia.
Well, it'll only work if state government says that we have to. Yeah. Mr. Scull?
Through the Chair, if I may, on page 184, which is the draft letter from the Mayor to the Minister, we've got benchmarking across councils and beyond, and I agree.
Yeah, it doesn't really go to that performance part of it, though. That was my point. Yeah. It's great to benchmark for fun, but to actually have a performance...
To set performance metrics against the benchmarked organisation. And I agree, because if you really want to... They talk about capacity building in local government. You've got to develop great people, and you've got to have metrics that against which you can measure success at a level which is going to actually transform this our reputation. And there's no mention of reputation in this, but it's damaged, and our performance. So I agree.
And certainly, when it comes to the final letter, I can add a flourish which reflects those intentions. Councillor Telfer, did you want to add something in seconded? Again, because of the nature of it, if anyone has any comments on that draft letter to add or subtract, you're welcome to. No, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Would someone like to move that we have a 5-minute adjournment? Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded Councillor Schilling, because I notice the next item is hard waste, and that makes me feel like visiting the men's room. So, 5-minute break. Thank you, members. All those in favour? Yes, carried unanimously. Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to call the meeting back to order. Yeah, thanks for talking. Page 185. So, members, if I could just sum up the report. The fact is that the demand is increasing and our pickup guys are falling further and further behind. So we've got to solve that somehow. And if we're not going to curtail services, and already people complain when they put out 3 objects and only 2 are taken, etc., then we have to look at some way of increasing services, and yes, it will cost more. I know one discussion I had with Mr. Lyons about this when I was trying to think of the options was to just inject an extra month or two, bring in services to get the waiting list back to a couple of weeks, and then let it build up again and maybe do that for period of years so that the waiting list doesn't blow out too much. I mean, that, to my simple mind, that works. But there are numerous options there. So, and the other thing I wanted to say, just from community feedback, is that tip ticket is not a great answer. It suits some people so well, but I know so many elderly people, they don't have a ute, they wouldn't know how to hire a trailer. It's not that easy to take your mattress to the dump. So, we need a mix of solutions, but that's not necessarily the best one. And people really do appreciate the service when rubbish is taken away. So, it's a tricky one. It looks like we're up for some more cost, whatever we do, but it's up to you. Councillor Valescu, what do you think? Yep.
Skip bins, that's neither here nor there as far as the other options go. So by putting that in there, aren't we assuming we're removing it? So
that's like putting a red flag up, isn't it, saying, hey, dump all your junk here till it overflows.
No, but we're just saying, like, there's already an arrangement with Housing SA properties where there's skip bins in certain properties on their private land. So they've talked about it here, but they don't talk about expanding it. So it either has to be expand the use of skip bins, or we're leaving it as it is, or removing it. But
Okay. Can I have someone move to suspend standing orders? It's another one with multiple. Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thanks. Because it's just one of these other things with multiple options. I'll just go quickly around the horseshoe from right to left. Councillor Crossland, what's your solution to this problem?
Yeah, look, I know that, and I'm not going to steal his thunder because it came from Councillor Pryor. If we're 6 weeks behind, the numbers aren't that much different to last year. I'd rather just hit it for the 6 weeks with the contractor and at least get us back on track and then review it.
Good. Councillor Gard?
I'd concur with that.
Thank you.
Overlaying all of that, however, I feel that... best joke I've told all night. I feel that the need to educate people more about what we do offer would alleviate a lot of our problems.
Thank you. Plus education. That's been our policy for 20 years, so hopefully it'll work eventually. Councillor Duncan?
I think that we should increase for the short period of time. I've heard today that there are people that have been waiting up to 4 months.
That is the longest I've heard. Councillor Schilling?
I concur with Councillor Crossland and Councillor Pryor by the sounds.
Yep, I can hear a motion formulating here. Councillor Hutchinson?
I'm happy with that, but I'd also like to invest more into the service.
Now, investing more into the service means at some point tipping into the second truck. Okay, fair enough. Councillor Telfer?
I'm an ABC person.
Okay. Yes, right, thank you. Councillor Pryor?
I agree we should pick up the backlog with contractors or however we do that. We're coming into winter as well, and I don't think as many people are going to be dumping hard rubbish during winter, so we might be able to reassess our position at the end of winter.
Thanks, Councillor Clancy.
To fix the backlog, and then rather than using a contractor, is there internal staff that that can't do other duties or anything, or is there any capacity in the staff we have other than outsourcing it?
Okay. Yes, it's a bit of a specialist task in the sense that you really need to be physically fit to do it. But yep, I take your point. Councillor Valescu?
I'd go maintain that. Item C is actually irrelevant.
Yeah, take out C. Councillor Masika?
I believe we should speed up to clear up the backlog, and then if we can maintain it within 2 to 4 weeks, that would be an ideal situation.
Thank you. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Consensus, thank you, Your Worship.
Yep. So I just want to test one thing with Mr. Lyons. The 45,000, is that... Okay. Is that... equivalent to a 6 week contract, or is that for something different? Just remind me.
Could I give a tiny little background to A, B, and C as well?
Yeah,
the expansion of the tip tickets, it's recognised that they are only a support to pick up of hard rubbish, but rather than be a second tiered offer, they would become a primary tiered offer, is the intent of A. B would be an extra $45,000. At the moment, we have $30,000, which gives us 5 weeks of contractors a year. The extra 45 would bring that up to 12 weeks or 1 week per month, and we believe that that would keep the waiting periods between 2 to 4 weeks. C came out of the elected member forum in January, where members were keen to introduce such a skip in. I found out that we already have that practice in place, and therefore my recommendation is to maintain it. That's why C is there. Members could contemplate increasing that, but it's not my recommendation.
Okay, so it sounds like we don't need C because it's happening. And really, B is the critical thing, and that's the one that would have the budget impact. Thank you. Councillor Valescu, do it. Extra. Per annum. So, who would like to move? Councillor Valescu? Anything further to add? This is just B. Councillor Hutchinson, seconded.
No, I resumed. Sorry, you might have you might have been chuckling at a joke or something, but sorry. Valescu Hutchinson. Any further discussion? Councillor Pryor, variation? No? Oh, ready to vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's unanimous. Thank you. Oaklands Crossing. Now, this is another one of those reports where there is a mass of detail. So I'll be relying a lot on Councillor Pryor in this one because it's his backyard. Any questions, first of all? No. Councillor Telfer, questions?
Yes. Why would we remove the median on Diagonal Road when it is heavily used and may not and may have another purpose other than the Trotgrove Diagonal Road corner lights?
Would staff like to answer that? Got Mr. Salmon coming up to answer that one. Also, Councillor Telfer, if you do know a page reference to that, it's helpful. Mr. Salmon, you go ahead. If you, what do you say about that?
Yeah, through the chair, I actually agree with that point. We haven't really gone into the detail of how we would put that crossing in yet. It's just a concept at the moment. We're talking about a general location for the crossing, and all that detail would have to be worked out with DIPTI.
But Mr. Salmon, if the motion is to endorse the concept plan, doesn't that mean we're committing to something?
The concept, through the chair, the concept plan. Sorry, I'm just trying to find the page with the concept.
I mean, what is the rationale? Can we put it that way? Can anyone answer that?
Through the chair, I can only assume that it was because a pedestrian crossing was being proposed that DIPTI may require it to be removed. I can't see why you'd remove it myself. I'm happy for that to be changed or taken out of the,
so
the plan.
So when we get to moving a motion, it should be at the end of number one, subject two. Subject two, retention of the, what do you call it, pedestrian refuge? No? On Diagonal Road. Do we just say on Diagonal Road? Yeah, on Diagonal Road. That's simple.
What's that?
Right, and Councillor Gard?
Yeah, I'm particularly concerned about the need for a general strategy, and timing I know is not the easiest with this project because there's a number of facets, including the Westfield developments, to come. But the actual strategy of moving people, particularly between the railway station and between the various parts of the triangle, including Westfield proper, but also the Aquatic Centre, Bunnings and such, so that we actually have worked out directions from the railway station, because not everyone is an everyday visitor, but we also have a feel for what sort of movement, whether it be foot traffic or whether it be on wheels of some kind, and from where and via where, and therefore where that would cross Diagonal Road And whether we would be directing people down Morfitt Road
towards
Bunnings or otherwise.
Yep, good questions. Are you suggesting that we don't have that strategy in place yet?
Maybe we need to foreshadow it for completeness sake and to say that, because I'm just concerned that, excuse the pun, that there might be a runaway train on this where you start to look at the physical needs and sure, what we see before us is very well done. I have no doubt about that. I would just like to see behind it the supportive rationales, because when you start to think strategically about how you're going to move people, where you're going to move them, and via where, it starts to put different connotations on where you've got to actually physically put things.
So, Councillor Gard, do you want more information before you deal with this?
I could forgive management for not supplying it in that regard, as long as I knew, as long as I could be convinced that there was that general thinking in place and that that would be forthcoming in the not-too-distant future, I guess.
Mr. Salmon, anything to add?
Through the chair, this document's been developed by Dr. Grimm, who was also largely behind the walking and cycling strategy, and he has talked about the broader catchments within the report as well. And unfortunately, he's on leave today and can't be here to answer your question specifically, but I can assure you that he is thinking very broadly around pedestrian movements and could provide you with a much better answer than I can, of course, but he is thinking strategically in that way. Part of the reason he's suggesting the crossing, pedestrian crossing, should be on that, in that location is for the Trot Grove intersections, the broader link back to the Tonsley site, and which goes back to the walk-in cycling strategy. So he is thinking very holistically around these links.
Through the chair, if I could just comment on that, that particular location for the crossing makes entire sense to me in itself, and I do recall DIPTI acknowledging that they were going to factor in inverted commas the need for making provision for connectivity from the railway station proper to the reticulation of network around or through that area.
Well, that's very much what this report is about.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you need to know before dealing with it, or is there any amendment you're suggesting?
I think probably Mr. Salmon's answered my question in the sense that there has been or there is strategic thinking behind what we see in the graphics. I would like to see that articulated more in the not too distant future.
Well, how would you like to receive that in a informal briefing or
yes,
by email?
I think, well, maybe
something you could pursue with Mr. Salmon subsequently.
Could it start at the ward briefing level? That doesn't include me, of course. But,
no.
But that doesn't matter. I think the most important thing is that the general thinking has been exchanged with council. Yes.
Could I suggest that you take it up with Dr. Grimm?
Yep, I'll be happy with that.
Subsequently.
Yep.
Any other questions, Councillor Pryor? Or you might want to move the motion.
Yeah, I've got a sort of an answer to a question. The pedestrian crossing over Diagonal Road is probably the one outstanding part of this plan at the moment. We don't know where the DIPTI are going to put in an activated pedestrian crossing where we want them to, as far as I'm aware. We don't know what the outcome of any sort of any of DIPTI's studies there are. I think Dr. Grimm has some feedback. Until we get a yes or a no on that pedestrian crossing, it's really hard to start judging whether we keep in a refuse halfway up halfway up Diagonal Road from there. I think a lot of this stuff is a concept plan at the moment, therefore subject to change
completely. I'm happy to take that particular part out, because this at the moment we can remain silent on that, whether we remove that.
Well, bearing in mind too that this is just what we put out to community and then hear from them.
Correct, and the large part of this, and I believe that the large part of this is looking at what are we doing with Diagonal Way. I think that's going to be the lion's share of what we consult on here. That's a bigger decision for the community rather than crossing Diagonal Road.
Mm, that's the clearest, most tangible change that's talking about tonight.
Yeah. And I think there's enough of an argument there to go out to consult on the closure of Diagonal Way. So I'm happy to move as written.
To move as printed with those words, subject to retention of the pedestrian refuge on Diagonal Road?
Of course, yes. Or maybe not retention, maybe just omission of that removal of the... Because we may not retain it long term, right? If there's an activated pedestrian crossing nearby, we're not going to retain an uncontrolled crossing of Diagonal Road. But if there is no activated crossing nearby, I would think the logical point would be to retain that crossing. So can we remain silent on that?
Well, no, because it's you're kind of with us or against us, because you're either endorsing what it says in the pretty pictures here, or you're not. Or you know what I mean? So
it's a picture on a computer. You can just take a razor and rub that line out. I mean, it's not a main part of what we're trying to consult on here.
It'll be a main part for the community if they suddenly find their refuge gone.
Oh, look, I think it's a really tough one, because we don't know what we're replacing it with yet. And without Dr. Grimm here to start his argument as to which way we should go.
We could just change that wording a bit. For example, endorses, etc., without necessarily... or without committing to the removal of the pedestrian refuge on Diagonal Road. How about that?
That's perfect.
Without committing to the removal instead of subject to retention. Councillor Telfer? That's it. Yep. Pedestrian refuge. That's it. Now, that's moved by Councillor Pryor, seconded by Councillor Schilling. Any further, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, museum report, page 262. I've had a good discussion this afternoon with Councillor Telfer about her alternative wording, and I think she's just about got it right. The reason I say, and I'm just trying to condense a lot of issues to save us some time this evening, but there are two two dubious concepts in the report as it's presented to us. Different members and members of the community have talked about a museum, but it doesn't have to be a big building. It doesn't have to be a big institution. And that's what we naturally think of. Museum on North Terrace, it's a big building. But it could be a series of buildings that contain memorabilia and history for a local area in different parts of the council. And after all, Glandor people may not care about going down to Perry Bar Farm, and people in Hallett Cove may not want to visit the Glandor Neighbourhood Centre. So that's one of the concepts that Councillor Telfer's bringing forward. The other dubious proposition is that we need to go full scale to an accredited museum with all the bells and whistles, do all the paperwork, 5 years of bureaucracy building up, staff building up. That's not what I hear the community asking for, and it would certainly be a major expense, to say the least. And when Councillor Telfer talks about putting forward spending up to $25,000 a year, The first thing really is to have someone working with existing history volunteers, because we actually have a museum, not in the technical sense. It's like saying Hazelmere Park is not a dog park. Everyone in the community thinks it's a dog park. What we have, it is absolutely brilliant. If you haven't been there, honestly, if you're at all interested in history, go and have a look at what they do in the building behind the Wesley Chapel in Township Road, Marion. They're open Tuesday mornings and Sunday afternoons. This group of volunteers have put together a series of spectacular displays depicting the early 20th century and 19th century history of Marion. Quite remarkable with minimal resources. What they need, though, look, they're mostly elderly people. They need that next generation, and they're finding it hard to do that themselves. Like a lot of our community clubs, they need that succession planning, and they need an ability to reach out to get more volunteers on board. So to have a staff member, even allocated one day a week, to help with curation, to help with planning about the next display points around the whole city, to help engage more volunteers through our publicity, through working with a volunteer manager, that would achieve a huge amount, as an interim step at least. And I think Councillor Telfer, I hope I'm being fair to her motion, but that's really what she's saying. That's all we need for the moment. We might come back and develop various buildings later on. But after all, we've got this master plan going on. Revisitation plan going on. So it would make sense after we've mapped out council's facilities to maybe come back and look at that. To give that overly long summary, Councillor. I'll leave it to you to move your motion.
I'll move as per the recommendation that's up there. The whole thing of taking a small step, supporting what's there with $25,000, thinking in terms of what is at Edwardstown in the showcases and the potential to have some maybe explanation at Perry Bar Farm, a little bit at Glenthorne Farm, a little bit at Hallett Cove Civic Centre and so on. Instead of spending $3 million on Sturt Road for a building and $250,000 for caretakers and curators and so on, we can tell our story in a focused way throughout our city. And so that's why I'm moving this.
Seconded, Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just briefly, from my very first appointment to council in 2010, I was a big advocate of the Historical Society and the History Centre and Tourism Centre we have next door. So I'm glad to continue that momentum.
Anyone speaking against or variation? Councillor Gard, question?
Yeah, I'm just wondering at this important point where we're really starting to plan this project, which indeed is probably one of the most worthy things we could do to actually truly come of age in our city. Is it a good time to be investigating the structures of such elements in other municipalities, even interstate? Because even though we mightn't be contemplating an expensive centralised facility, we will have a collective, and there may be a number of factors that the state can help us with.
Yes.
In the ongoing sense.
Now, I know that staff have looked at other councils' museums, and I suppose what Councillor Telfer is suggesting is something not as extensive as some of the other councils, like the Holdfast Bay Centre, etc. And Councillor Clancy, I know, informally has suggested, well, can't we work with other councils' historic people? And there's probably scope for more than that. It's just that the group of volunteers we've got at the moment need an injection of extra help. I think that's where we're at. Other questions or comments, Councillor Clancy?
I'm just wondering if we could have existing staff do this work, such as a volunteer coordinator, rather than pay someone $25,000 to do it.
I suppose I could... Would you like staff to answer that, or for Councillor Telfer to respond? Or Mr. Lyons? Or Ms. Byrne? She's been looking into this whole project. I suppose, Councillor Clancy, it's a matter of having a degree of specialisation plus the volunteer harnessing ability. But Ms. Byrne, what can you tell us about, you know, why we couldn't do it within the existing resources? Yes.
Through the chair, so at the moment we have a 0.6 full-time equivalent and who contributes to the Marion Heritage Research Centre, and she manages up to 40 volunteers, so a large component of her role is actually managing volunteers. So one, we could increase her resources to maybe help with the village or whatever, although she does have a very good working relationship. Yes, the budget, I'd have to get back to you on that, what for that Heritage Research Centre, but yeah.
So Councillor Telfer's suggesting up to an extra $25,000 a year for additional curator staffing. What or how would that help, do you think?
Through the chair, through our research at Unley and Holdfast Bay, the curators there are about a level 5 position. So, with their qualifications, so $25,000 per annum may get us one day a week, as you said, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Clancy. Anything further? Anyone else? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? I'll just try it again. Arms clearly in the air. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is carried. Thank you. We'll move on to page 281. Collection of long-standing debts. I reckon Councillor Hutchinson's our man to move.
Always happy to move collection of debt, Your Worship.
Go ahead. Speak to it, Councillor. It's at page 281, everybody.
I've just jumped pages. I don't think there is really anything to say on it, is it? Happy for our staff to do that with those provisions there that they do notify us. So, yep. I'd like to see more of it, if anything.
I mean, we're going from a position of, dare I say, a very lax approach to long-standing debt, including one we've got going back to 2006, I believe, to at least some... strict approach in certain cases, and that's after talking to people and seeing what excuses and personal circumstances they have. So we're going to probably a moderate position, I would suggest, rather than a strict position. But it does allow, if people are really being deliberately difficult, going as far as selling them up. Section 184. Question before we have a seconder, or a seconder, Councillor Gard, and a question. Thank you.
No, I won't be a seconder, but I just wanted to put the question that firstly prefixed by a statement that I do note on page 283, there's quite a substantial increase in the percentages from only 4 years ago of overdues and arrears, and I just wonder whether we're investigating the root cause for that, if there is indeed a root cause. It may be an aberration, it may not, but we have been putting rates up. We haven't been putting them up that much above inflation. However, we have come through a very high rates increase regime in the years prior, so it's not altogether surprising, but I'd just like confirmation of that in some way.
Mr. Mifsud's a man to respond.
Through the chair, we haven't identified what the root cause is. I think it would be fair to say that the prevailing economy would be one impact. We're talking about a very, very small number of people out of our nearly 90,000 residents, but we don't know specifically what the root cause is, Councillor Gard.
Now, Councillor Masika wanted to second that motion. Councillor?
Yes, Your Worship, I'd like to second the motion the way it is, because some of our residents have already noticed that there are people who are not paid the council rates, and they haven't been done anything to reclaim those council rates. So, looking up the page 282, you find that initially, the 2015, it was a small number, but you see it's increasing year by year to the level that the action needs to be taken. So I'll second the motion with the expectation that the residents, they'll see that the council taking action for those who are not paying up the rates.
Thank you. Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now, would somebody like to move that the corporate reports for noting be noted on or be carried on block? Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Schilling. Before I go any further, I want to give everyone the opportunity to ask any questions about any of those matters. If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. And in accordance with what we agreed, that's the end of the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for your cooperation. No, it's not. What is it? Oh, the boundary one. How could I forget that? We jump forward then to the one remaining item of business, something to do with boundaries, etc. What's our page number there? 350, thank you. Councillor Schilling to move.
Thank you, Worship. I'd like to move it as written. For those in the chamber who aren't aware, I ran an unofficial poll over the weekend on Facebook. Reached nearly 7,000 people organically. I did not boost it or pay for it whatsoever. 730 people voted. 68% of those people are for the move of the suburbs mentioned in the motion to move into the city of Marion. 85 comments, with comments of going, we'll get fortnightly green waste, we'll get cheaper rates, it's going to be so much better, we're over on Coppringa, things that we've all heard in the media. I did a quick ring around to some friends who live in Onkaparinga to get their rates, to just do a quick analysis for myself. Now, I'm no accountant, but a quick analysis on a capital value house worth $500,000. Moving into Marion would save $327 per annum based on this year's data. Now, that is a huge saving. That's $70-odd dollars a quarter. For me, that's half of my fortnightly shopping bill. So that's quite a substantial amount of money. The consensus that I got from social media is that people want this to happen. They're open to the talks here, and I think this motion would allow us to further discuss any potential for other alignments in the future. I won't go on any longer because I know we want to go home. But I'm really supportive of this motion, and I think the community appetite is there for this motion.
Thank you. Now, I want to just point out one thing for accuracy. In the conception of this, there are a couple of, apart from those main suburbs of Happy Valley, Aberfoyle Park, Flagstaff Hill, there are a couple of outlying areas, so to speak, which are in the city of Onkaparinga currently, where the conception is that either Mitcham or Adelaide Hills might be interested. And that's why it's imperative to write to those councils as well. And in that respect, I note that the map on page 352 is not accurate. As I wrote to Ms. McKenzie last Wednesday, it's not quite accurate just in respect of the top corner, if you like. So the part, the area that I was suggesting might be more suitable for Mitcham is on the northern side of the Flagstaff Road, and those roads actually adjoin the roads near the Sturt Creek in Mitcham, rather than connecting necessarily with Flagstaff Road. So there is a logic to it, and the map doesn't quite reflect that. I mean, the map's at a pretty large scale anyway, so you could take it as indicative, but I didn't want people to think that that was precisely accurate. A call for a seconder. Councillor Duncan, did you wish to add anything? Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. And I can now close the meeting. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for your cooperation.